Welcome to the Wake Up Podcast. I am so excited that you're here. Listen, these podcasts are best listened to in the morning because we are waking up not only our bodies from sleeping, but we're waking up our minds, we're waking up our focus, we're waking up our calling, and we are following the breadcrumbs that God has left for us throughout the day over our life to tell us exactly what to do next. So stop saying that you don't know what to do. Stop feeling overwhelmed. Stop living in the valley and start walking into your calling. So I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show.
So I've been kind of MIA. There's not been new podcast. I haven't been recording anything. And it's not because I'm down in some valley somewhere canceling and isolating and, you know, self-sabotaging. But it's because God spoke a word to me about 2 years ago now, where he said, focus more on your community, your physical address of where you live, and the people that you're connected to and surrounded to. Because before that, I was focused on the world. I was focused on a presence on social media and connecting with people in different countries. And although that is great and it's necessary and it's amazing to be able to do that, I was neglecting where God had placed me. And he just kept telling and confirming that to me, that he had purpose for me here in my town, really needed me to step up and be intentional on shepherding the people around me and influencing them in the right way. Starting with myself and then in my home and then with my neighbors. And then, you know, further out. So we started at the most inner circle. And I have been really, really focused on my community, praying for God to lead me to the people in my community who need me, to bring me the women in the community that God thinks that I would be able to help in some way. And I do that just by praying in the morning. I've also been praying on my face. It's something that my friend Amanda had challenged me to do, to wake up in the morning and to literally lay flat down on the floor and pray and just surrender and give everything to God. So I've been doing that. And in that prayer, I've been asking God to connect me to his broken women who need me. And I've made myself available because that's a big part of it. You have to make yourself available to be able to answer the call. So if your phone rings, like an actual physical phone call, or someone invites you somewhere, or there's an event at your church, but you're so busy, well, then you can't even be available to answer that because God's like, yes, awesome. I'm so glad she prayed this. I have someone she can help. And then it's like, oh, sorry, I couldn't answer. I'm busy. I'm working. I'm doing chores. I'm cleaning. I'm cooking. I'm, you know, doing all of the things that we have to do. So I've really been trying to eliminate things on my calendar and really focus on my community and focus on myself with that as well. I've been really plugged into my church doing my 12-step recovery program again. I re-enrolled. So we started again. And I'm going through that program. We're on step one. And I've been spending a lot of intimate time with God. And intimate meaning it's just him and I. Like, it's not listening to sermons. It's not reading Christian books. It's reading the book. It's spending time in prayer talking to God. And he's been showing me a lot of things, and also showing me a lot of things through the people that I have been talking to and helping and witnessing and teaching about God to. And one thing that keeps popping up is people feeling just under attack by the enemy. And I can see how the devil has their hand on all of these women's lives, and maybe in their personal selves or in their family or in their extended family or in their friendship circles, and talking about things like addiction and depression and just traumatic events that are happening to people. And it's heartbreaking and it's heavy. And I think that's part of the reason why I haven't done a new podcast lately, is because I've just felt the heaviness and I wasn't ready to make sense of it or to teach it, but I wanted to just sit in the heaviness and feel the pain of others and the weight of their problems and ask God, you know, why is this happening? And why are we allowed to do this? And why does the devil have such hold over our society right now? And what authority does he even have? You know, because we get so wrapped up in talking about the devil and the enemy and possession and addiction and all of these things. And that in itself is not right because you're putting the majority of your focus and attention on the enemy. And that's exactly what he wants. He wants our attention. So by focusing on him, even if it's not really fear, but I kind of had this, like, I called one of the pastors at my church the other day and I was like, I have this like obsession with the devil, like figuring him out and figuring out his strategy and what are his plans and his beliefs and his authority. Like, what is he allowed to do? What is he not allowed to do? Because I felt like if I just studied him and who he was, you know, because he doesn't have any new tricks. He's doing the same things all the time. And I'm like, if I know what he's doing, then I can stop him and I can give advice to other women that are struggling with him so that they can stop him. And she told me, she said, Taryn, you're thinking way too much about this. You're putting way too much power in the enemy's hands. And that was the first time that it opened my eyes to realizing that this is exactly what I was doing. I was hyper-focused on the devil and his authority and his plans. It was almost like I was ignoring the other side of it. But you can't just continue to ignore and say, okay, well, I'm not going to give him any time of day, because you have to know what he is doing. You have to know his plan, his strategy. And today I want to talk about being possessed or oppressed and the differences between the two. There are several people in my circle or in my circle where I believe that they are possessed. They have a possession going on in their life and it's awful and it's terrible. And I want to be able to help them. And I know that we have authority. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I believe that, but how do we know if somebody is demon possessed or not? And I want to start out by reading Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, and then kind of diving into a little bit about what the enemy is and what he can do to a believer and a non-believer. But I wanted to first mention to you about the whole part of being obsessed over the enemy and what can he do and trying to really figure him out. Because I don't want you to think that this podcast is giving him that microphone or that light. I want you to see how he has shown up in people in the Bible and how we can know the truth and how we can stand firm against his plans. I'm going to talk about a lot of different ways that you can be oppressed. But I'm going to outline three big ones that a lot of people experience. And how do you know that those are just oppressions and not possessions? And then I'm going to give you some real tangible things that you can do to stand against and to avoid this happening to you. Or if you feel like it already has happened to you, how to reverse it. Or if it's something that's happening to a loved one in your family, how you can help them, how you can pray for them. And you could even send them this podcast if they're open to it and you think that they would listen. Now, most people probably won't, but some people will. So it's worth a shot. But I wanted you to have the tool to be able to stand in the gap for people that are broken and people that are hurting. Because when you're a believer and other people are not, and you want to help people as much as you possibly can, the way that you do that is you stand in the gap and you hold God's hand and you hold their hand and you connect them together and you form a bond and you're showing them, this is the bridge the bridge is really the cross. And you explain to them and you help them by standing in the gap until they close the gap and they're there. But in order for us to stand in the gap and truly help people, one thing that we need to do, I'm going to mention this before I read Mark 5, because I feel like I need to mention this right now. The one thing that we need to do in order to stand in the gap is to meet Jesus intimately every single day. And don't get caught up in doing God's work more than you're spending time with him, because that's what he truly wants. We are the hands and feet of Christ. And yes, we all have different plans. And some of us may be serving in the church or serving in the community, serving in your home. You're physically doing things with your body to serve and to help. But don't forget the importance of showing up daily to talk with God. That's how you stand in the gap, because when you're reading the word and you're praying for wisdom and for clarity as you're reading it and for God to speak to you and to reveal to you and to allow the scales to fall off your eyes and to open your ears and to see things as they are and allow the truth to come out. And when you're asking for those things in life, they will start to happen. And as you're reading scripture, it will start to be understood more through you and it will be more clear and you will be able to decipher what it says. The scripture says to an unbeliever, it's just foolishness. The Bible is foolishness. The cross is foolishness. It doesn't make sense. It's confusing. And the devil will use that, since he is the author of confusion. He's going to use that to keep you away. And you're going to see how he's used confusion a lot to keep you away, to keep you small, to keep you quiet, to keep you bound up in your cell, because I plainly put, he's afraid of you. He is afraid of you and he's jealous of you. And in order to be afraid of someone, you're obviously intimidated by them. So you have something worth to the devil, because he is trying to get you to be quiet. He's trying to take away your power and to get you believe that you don't have any power, which you do have power because you have Christ Jesus. So if you have drifted away from intimate time with God, this is your reminder that you need to get back in the word today. And a great way to get back in the word is whatever day of the month it is, read that proverb. There's 31 proverbs. Some months have 31 days in them. Today's the 27th of March, so I read Proverbs 27. And I read it slow and I pray and I write in my Bible and I look up words I don't know and I spend time doing that. So get back in the word. If you've fallen away, it's okay. Come back and get in the word. It's what you need to do in order to help yourself and have the progress you need, but also to stand in the gap and help other people. It's like in an airplane, when the masks fall and the oxygen's dropping, you put your mask on first so then you can help other people. It's the same concept. You can't be focused and busy helping everyone without first being filled yourself and standing in the gap to understand these things. So the reason why I even started researching and praying and looking at being spiritually possessed and oppressed is because a lot of people were dealing with this and struggling with this around me, and I couldn't help them. I didn't know what to tell them. I didn't know what information to give them. And I realized it's about time that I step up and I learn this for myself so that I can stand in the gap for other people. And that's why I am talking about this today. I prayed this morning, what did God want me to talk about? I have some Easter messages that I want to preach coming up, but I sat there in silence and I said, Holy Spirit, reveal to me, what is my topic today? What do people need to hear? What do your daughters need to hear on this episode? And immediately he started downloading all of my notes and my research and my scriptures and everything that I have been studying revolving this topic. So I know that this is perfectly timed. It's something I've been wanting to talk about for a while, but it hasn't been the right timing. And the fact that it popped into my head today, it was confirmation and validation of this is exactly where we need to be. So Mark chapter 5, verses 1-10, this is what it says. When Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound with shackles for his feet and with chains, and he tore apart the chains and broke the shackles into pieces. No one was strong enough to subdue and tame him. Night and day, he was constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains and cutting himself with sharp stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And screaming with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God," which means swear to me, "that you will not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began begging him repeatedly not to send them out of the region. So I want to start with defining what the enemy is. So you have the devil and you have the enemy. Now, the enemy refers to the devil and it refers to all of his demons that he has. So the enemy is the entire enemy. Thinking about a war, we're in a battle and they are the enemy. It's him and all of his dominions and demons and all of these things, these evil powers that he has. Now, you can't always just say the devil, because the devil is not like God. The devil cannot be everywhere all at the same time. God can do that. God can be right here with me in this office as I record this podcast. He's also in your car with you listening to this. He's in your office. He's in your home. He can be everywhere all at once. And he's all knowing. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. All of these things, okay? The devil cannot. The devil cannot do that. So he needs an army and he needs demons and he needs people, things that are coming out and spirits that are working. So when this man who was possessed, reading this and seeing that he, night and day, he was constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains and cutting himself with sharp stones. That sounds like some people I know today that are raging and they can't control themselves and they're dealing with anger that's so bad that they can't control it. Self-harm and self-mutilation, that's happening all over the world at a higher risk, especially for our teens and our young adults and our children. So there is nothing new to the world that hasn't been going on. This has been going on. This was back in Jesus's day, 2000 more years ago. And the word legion in that time referred to a group of Roman soldiers. The number was about 5,000 or more people. So when you look up the word legion, it means a group. It means many. Okay, so when he's saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many," and Jesus is like, "What is your name?" And Jesus knew the name of the man, but he knew that it wasn't the man he was talking to. He knew that it was a demon possession. And when he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many," he's saying that he is possessed by many spirits. He is led. Inside of him are many spirits. And this scripture goes on. And if you read the rest of Mark chapter 5 and you see what ends up happening is Jesus casts out these demons out of this man and into a group of pigs that are on the hillside, 2,000 pigs. He casts the demons out of the man and into the pigs. And all of the pigs go running down the hill into the water and they drown themselves. And the fact that there's 2,000 pigs, it shows in the scripture, and a lot of people think that the spirits came out of the man and each spirit went into each animal. And it shows the multitude of different spirits that was inside of this man haunting him and possessing him. Now, can a believer be possessed? If you are a born-again believer, you have committed your life to Christ, You believe that he was sent here and died on the cross for you. And you believe that you are clean now because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You are a born again believer. And if the spirit of the Holy Spirit is inside of you, it cannot be removed by a demonic spirit. So if you are a born again believer, you cannot be possessed by the devil, but you can be oppressed. So that's why I want to tell you the differences. If you are a believer, you cannot be possessed because you already have the other spirit dwelling within you. But the definition of oppression is prolonged, cruel, or unjust treatment or control. Another definition said mental pressure or distress. So if somebody is experiencing oppression, this is what they're experiencing. Now, demonic oppression is a spiritual attack from a demonic spirit, which seeks to influence a person's thoughts, emotions, and even their actions. So since a demon cannot physically possess a born-again believer to control them, then oppression is the next best option for them. It's really the only option for them. And oppression often starts in the mind because this is the central hub for us that dictates what we think about. And Rick Warren says, the way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. And I love that quote so much because it's just so true. And if you're ever having a bad day where you're feeling really off, you're just pessimistic, the glass is half empty. For me, this is dictated by my hormones, not a demonic presence, but my natural hormonal cycle as a woman. I go in this spot every single month where I'm really negative and I'm really critical, and I don't like how I feel. I don't like what I'm thinking about. I don't like what I'm doing. And it's because how I am thinking about things is making me feel a certain way, and then that's making me act a certain way. So I'm thinking about how everything's annoying and I'm overcritical and I'm irritated. And so that's making me feel irritated and annoyed. And then it's making me fulfill the actions in that way, which is isolating or not answering the phone or not doing the work I need to, not writing my book, not reading the book. These things, it really changes you. So the goal of demonic oppression is to keep a person trapped and bound. The desire really is to paralyze the Christian believer so that they can become ineffective. And you might ask, ineffective in what? What do the demons want you, or why do they want you bound and trapped and quiet? Why do they want you paralyzed? Why do they want you overthinking? What are they scared of? And ineffective to what? What is it? And we are all called for a purpose, on purpose. We were all knit together in our mother's womb and formed for a purpose here on this earth. And if he is after you, it's actually a compliment, even though it's, you know, it's a stretch. Sometimes it's hard to feel good about that. But it actually is, when I hear people talking to me about their spiritual oppression that they've been experiencing, the spirit of addiction or depression or anger. And there's so many things here that he can really be attacking, and the enemy can be attacking. But when I hear about that, I think, wow, you must really be powerful. Your purpose must be so important, and your potential is out of this world for the devil and his demons to be working overtime to bound you and trap you and paralyze you to keep you ineffective. That's what I see. And if And if your family and your lineage has been under attack, if you're dealing with addiction and your mom dealt with addiction and her mom dealt with addiction and her mom dealt with addiction, or even just the spirit of poverty. I mean, seeing that you can't get out of poverty, your family couldn't get out of poverty, they couldn't get out of poverty. And you see that, it's like, wow, your heritage must have been so great that the devil was working so hard to restrain you all. You're a threat to him. He wants to keep you quiet because he knows what you're capable of, but you don't know what you're capable of. See how he gets in your head and changes things like that? You don't know what you're capable of. And to be honest, there's a lot of people listening to this podcast right now who they don't really believe they're capable of anything. And that might be you, where you're like, I really don't think that I have potential, Taryn. I'm so broken. I'm in such a hard place. I mean, my whole life has been so hard. It's always been a struggle. My whole family, it's been a struggle for us. You don't even see it because you've been beat down day after day, week after week, after month, after year, after century. I mean, your family is just exhausted. But if you're listening to this, chances are that you're in the mindset of, I know that I'm being held and I know that there has to be something more. You know, a lot of people I talk to who, some people are worshiping things like money or crystals, Ouija boards. And a lot of Christians too will say things like my spirit guides and the universe and these crystals and these rocks. And even I fell into this about a year and a half ago, probably. I went into this healing shop and there were a lot of scriptures and crosses, but there were also crystals. And I started looking and just thinking, well, this crystal, and this has been around forever. And if you hold it, it helps you to realize that you're not fearful. And I kind of fell into that. And I was actually cleaning out my desk a few weeks ago and I found all of these rocks and crystals and things that I had. And I immediately threw them away. And I'm like, I can't even believe that I was putting my faith in these rocks and crystals almost. Like, this is what's going to take away my fear. This is what's going to give me confidence. This is what's going to make me prosper and bring me wealth, when that's not true. So people, though, that are believing in those things like Ouija boards and crystals and all of this, it shows me that they are in tune with something greater than them. And they're seeking. Good for them for seeking and realizing that there is something I'm missing. Most people I talk to, whether they're a believer or they are not a believer at all, they know that there's something there that's telling them that they were created for something more. Like, there has to be more to this life. What is this feeling? You're made for more. And it's this sense of knowing. They don't know where it came from. It's just this thought of, I have to be made for something more. Because you can feel the spiritual connection and you know. But the thing is that the devil and his demons, the enemy doesn't have control over you at all. It's only smoke and mirrors that make it seem like he has control. The only thing he needs to get you to believe is that he has control, and then he wins in that situation. Now, we're going to talk in a little bit about, we know he doesn't win in the end, you know, but someone who has this fake control and all they're trying to do is get you to believe it. I kind of think of my kids when I had a babysitter, when my twins were 5 years old, I had this woman who would get them off the bus because I worked, and she would stay home with them for a few hours until I got home. And she was given authority to be the authority while I was away. But my kids never believed that. My twins were awful when they were little, like awful. She ended up calling me and quitting on the spot because they had ran off the bus and were running around the yard towards our pond. and they weren't listening to her. And she was like, I can't do this anymore. You need to come home. I'm done. I can't work. I mean, it was awful. Okay. But I just think like I gave her the authority. She had the authority, but they didn't believe that she did. So therefore she didn't have the authority. And if they would have believed that she had the authority, she would have had it. So authority, although it can be given, if it's not believed in, then you don't have it. Just like scripture, believe and you will receive. If you don't believe, then you're not going to receive. And the gift is there, but it's up to you if you're going to believe it, if you're going to be open about it. So he doesn't have control over us. But if we think he does, then he does. So if you are not a believer, I want to say this, that if you are not a born again believer, or if somebody in your home, in your family, they are dealing with things like this, if they're not a believer, yes, they can be possessed. And you need to seek help from a pastor. Because you, and not because only a pastor can cast out a demon, that's absolutely not true, but you need to know your full authority that you have in Christ. And in order to cast out a demon, you do have the authority and the power to do that if you are a believer, and you don't have to scream and you don't have to yell and you don't need to have any kind of holy water or anything specific. All you need to say is, in the name of Jesus, leave, submit. You can say it quietly, you can whisper it, but how it works is that if you even have 1 ounce of doubt, 1 ounce of fear going up against this, then you will not be successful in this. So you have to know your full authority in Christ and believe it, believe it, believe it. And I don't think that I can stand there today and go up against a demon and not be scared at all. You're like, I can do it, but I think I would be a little bit afraid. Like, just a little bit, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I believe in my authority, but I'm shaky in that. So I would need to seek someone else that can intercede for me. So if you're a believer, you cannot be possessed, but you can be spiritually oppressed. And if you're not a believer, then yes, you can be possessed, because there is no other spirit inside of you dwelling inside of your body. So you are really vulnerable there. Anything can latch to you. So here's how things get latched onto us and ways that we are oppressed as Christians. So one of the ways is by being around infested places. Places where these demonic spirits and presences are, whether this is in person or online. So if you're looking at pornographic images on your computer, those spirits can latch onto you through your computer. If you're listening to vulgar, nasty music, that can come through the radio. You're giving an opportunity and saying, I'm okay with this darkness. And this is okay. Anytime we sin, we're allowing the devil a stronghold in our life, a foot into our life. We're sinning. And he says, well, they're not following the Lord. So this is the way I'm getting in here. Going and visiting a strip club, going to a regular nightclub where people are drinking and doing drugs and they're provocative and they're dancing to music. And I'm not saying all of this from a condemning point of shaking my finger at you saying, now this is why you're spiritually oppressed and I'm so much better than you, because I've done all these things that I'm talking about. I've been there. I've done that. I've seen it in my own life. And I saw the oppression latch on to me, and I saw how the devil was able to have a stronghold into my life, watching rated R movies and rated MA shows. And it's not just the rating of, oh, what is the rating? But the rating says something. The rating says, oh, this is MA because of language and gore and violence and sex and drugs. And if you're sitting in your bed and you're watching this, that's what you're thinking about. And remember, what you think about is how you feel, and how you feel is how your actions are. And the devil works in the dark. He doesn't work in the light like Christ does. He works in the dark. And when things are dark, you can't see. So if you're outside and you're in the pitch black darkness, the moon's not out that day, it's pitch black. You can't see things crawling around on the ground. You can't see things running past you. You can't see things hiding because it's dark. But if the lights were on, you could see these things. So the devil tends to come into your life very sneaky, very carefully, very quietly, very sly. He doesn't come in like a big surprise factor, like, oh, here we are. It's very slow and it's very quiet. And it's all of a sudden slips through the door, slips through the cracks and is in your life like that. So you have to be on guard. And scripture says that be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. He says that in 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Because you can't risk it. You can't be distracted and you can't be drunk because you won't be able to stand firm against what you're doing. And typically, when someone starts to consume alcohol, they start to do things that they would never do when they were sober. You know, when I would drink, I would start swearing. I don't typically swear when I'm sober. I would start swearing. I'd be like a little bit more vulgar. I would want to be more provocative and wear less clothing. I would want to dance. I would want attention. I would be talking and gossiping about people, overcritical, making fun of people, all of these things that I would never do if I was sober. And that's why I stopped drinking, because I didn't like who I became when I was drinking. I didn't like the thoughts I had when I was drinking. The second I started drinking, I wanted a cigarette. I never wanted a cigarette when I was sober. I didn't like that it made me want to do that. I wanted to be promiscuous. I wanted to be provocative. I wanted to be wanted. I wanted to be sought after. All of these things that I knew I shouldn't be doing as a Christian, but that's how it made me feel. So if drinking doesn't make you feel that way and you don't have an addiction to it, then you can have a glass of wine or two and you're totally fine and God hasn't convicted you of that. I don't want you to think this is religiosity or, you know, a bunch of rules and you can't do this or you're not going to heaven, because if you're not convicted against something and you don't have a problem with it, then that's up to you and God. That has nothing to do with me. But a lot of people are stumbling when they're doing these things, and yet you keep giving into this temptation and you keep having the drink and smoking the joint and doing the thing when you know that it changes the way that you feel and the way that you are. So if you're around these infested places, and you might not be looking at pornography on your computer, but maybe one of your children are, or your husband is, you would be surprised at how many men are looking at pornography, and even women who I talk to who don't feel like it's a big deal at all. And let me tell you, it is a huge deal. It is ruining marriages. I know people firsthand that are very close to me whose marriages were ruined because of pornography. And what it does to your brain is insane. And people who say that it doesn't do anything, you, my friend, are blinded. It is destroying your marriage. It is destroying your sex life. It is destroying your love that you have for your spouse. And if your children are looking at this, then it's destroying their concept of what they think sex is, what they think marriage is, what they think love is, and it's going to ruin their marriage one day. And I'm not saying it's going to lead to cheating, because a lot of people think that that's the only reason why it's bad. That's not the only reason why it's bad. And if it's being watched in your home, those demons and spirits can be in your home without you even knowing it. So it's best for you to maybe do a cleansing of your home, to walk around your home and to speak Jesus's name. And if there is any enemy or demonic spirit that is in the presence of this home, I demand in the name of Jesus, you flee, you submit and you get out of here. You have no authority in this home. You will not be here in my presence of my family. We are children of God. You must flee. And then I have 13-year-old boys. You know, I can't just trust them to not look at pornography on a computer. That's why we purchased the software Ever Accountable. And if you go to terrensarconi.com and you scroll all the way to the bottom, I have a link of a resource where you can find it. And you can put this on all of your devices and it doesn't block the sites from happening. It's an accountability software, so they could still access it, but it alerts certain devices and people if you do. So it's holding them accountable that, yes, I could look at this, but I'm not going to. And talk to your children about that. And if you are like, Taryn, I've never heard any of this. I didn't know that porn was that bad for us. Then I want you to dig and dive deeper into learning about this, because it is a big issue in our churches right now with our Christian men, with our Christian women. It's a big thing. So giving into temptation, like giving into sin, giving into addiction, even like temptation, I think of like you're tempted to be unforgiving, to want revenge, to want justice to be served right now. And that's not how things work. As Christians, we're called to be very forgiving and we're called to put our pride aside and humble ourselves. So if you have the spirit of pride and unforgiveness and hatred and anger, and you're not letting go of that and submitting that to God, you're holding on to that. And that is a foothold and a way for the devil to enter your life. Materialism or idolatry. So 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pangs." And I experienced this myself firsthand when I was a lover of money and I was working in the network marketing industry and I was obsessing and all I cared about was money and things and rank and recognition and big checks and diamond rings. And I was obsessed with it and it's all I wanted. And the more and more and more I got, the worse and worse and worse I felt, because it's just a false idol. It says you will feel so fulfilled and joyful and abundant if you experience this. Well, then you do and you don't get it, because nothing satisfies and fulfills like Jesus will. And Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, money is not bad and money is not evil. And it's taken me a really long time to retrain my brain. And I'm still holding on to this concept of, I feel like money is gross and bad. And I tend to self-sabotage that and turn things down when I get money, or run away from things and potential and opportunity to make money, because I still feel like it's bad and poisoned because of where my mind was. And I was really brainwashed in that industry for so long, thinking that that was good and that was the purpose. But money is good, because you can do a lot with money. And there were amazing men in the Bible that were extremely wealthy and were servants of God and were blessed by him. So money is not evil, but it's the love of money. And I love that the scripture says no one can serve two masters. And he says you cannot serve God and money. He doesn't say, most people can't, but maybe you can. No, you cannot serve God and money. And I was a Christian, saying I was a Christian, going to church, really wasn't reading my Bible, but was going to church, was praying, was talking to God, and I was serving the love of money. And that's why my life felt so horrible. And that's why I had so much spiritual oppression, because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to. So if you're visiting infested places, whether you're infesting them with your own sin and what you're doing, or they're infested and you're walking into them, if you're giving into temptation, your sin, your addiction, your unforgiveness, your hatred, your pride, if you're materialistic, idolatry, all of these things are allowing the door to be open to how you're feeling. You know, I used to watch the show called You on Netflix. Maybe you've seen it. There are three seasons. I watched season one, watched season two, loved it. I was obsessed with the show, binge watched it, loved it, couldn't get enough of it. Season three is released. I've had it on my watch list on Netflix because I can't wait to watch it. When I have time, I'm going to watch it. So last week I put on an episode and it started and I had this weird feeling like this. I wasn't excited to watch it. I started it and I had this bad feeling and the show started and I kept watching it. I just, the more the show went on, the worse I kind of felt. And then there was this scene where the Holy Spirit just convicted me so hard, where my stomach hurt. I literally felt sick to my stomach and was like frantically looking for the remote. I'm like, what? Oh my gosh, what am I watching? Why? This is so evil and so nasty and so gross. I could literally feel it coming out of the TV and into my room. And I probably because, well, two things. One, I've been praying for God to open my eyes and for me to show me where in my life I need to work on to get closer to him. So number one, that was an answer to prayer. I asked for it and he showed it to me and exposed it. The other reason is because I've been spending a lot of time watching Superbook cartoons with my kids. Superbook, you can find it on YouTube. It's free. They go in seasons, which is really nice. And it's in chronological order of the Bible. And it'll tell you, like, this is the story of Abraham and Sarah. This is the story of Noah. This is the story of Jonah. And it's shown in cartoon form. And it's so easy to learn. And I love watching those. So we've been watching those. And I've also been watching a lot of YouTube shows of the story of Easter with my daughters and showing them and explaining to them and pausing it and talking. I just finished watching the season of The Chosen, season 3 of The Chosen. And I went to the movies and I just saw that movie, Jesus Revolution, which was amazing and was so good. So good. So good. And I've been so focused on my recovery and sobriety. And because my mind has been fixed on greater things for so long, when I came back and watched this show, I felt the difference. And if I wouldn't have been fixed on higher things, I wouldn't have noticed a difference. It would have been no big deal. So I tell you that because I want you to know that I am not perfect in any way. I don't ever want anyone to think or look up to me like, wow, Taryn's so holy, because I am not at all. But I am becoming more like Jesus because I'm submitting my flesh and I'm submitting my control and I'm submitting my nastiness of myself and surrendering and asking God to change me and to transform me. And that's what we need to be doing, spending time intimately with him and allowing ourselves to decrease and allowing God to increase in us. So because I've been so focused on God and I've been a servant and I've been praying and I've been connected, that the Holy Spirit is inside of me. You know, the reason why I'm so obsessed with Easter, yes, Jesus rose from the tomb. He is the only thing that ever died and had a tomb and came back to life that people worship. All these other religions that people focus on, they all have tombs of their person where the person is in the tomb still, or it was someone who never walked on this earth as a person. And it's just this figure. It's just this mythical thing. But we actually had someone say, this man is going to come and walk on the earth. And it was all prophesied. And then he showed up and he was here and it happened and performed all these miracles in front of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, millions of people. He performed these miracles in front of and then died in front of everyone, not because the rulers wanted to kill him, which is the most crazy thing, but because his own people were like, yeah, no, kill him, crucify him, crucify him. It's crazy to me that his own people were like, don't let him go. Don't let him go. Even the ruler was like, I'm allowed to let someone go because it's Passover. Do you want me to let him go? I'll let him go. And they're like, no, crucify him. Like his own Jews said, crucify him. And he ended up dying in a tomb and then raising from the dead. But the thing that I love so much about it is because he did that, because he died, the Holy Spirit was able to come here and was given to us. Before that happened, there was no Holy Spirit dwelling inside of people. you were just left to fend for yourself. Like, gosh, I really suck, but hopefully I can just work really hard and try and turn to God. You didn't have this superpower within you like we have now. And you have this power within you. You have the Holy Spirit within you. I mean, that is huge. Like, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. The same Spirit that was living inside of Jesus is living inside of you. And it's hard to even wrap your mind around, because you're like, who am I? What? Like, there is no way. But there are three big things that I want to outline to you. What is going on here? So abnormal fear is a big way that I see people being controlled by the devil. And the scripture of be alert and sober mind, the enemy is prowling around looking for someone to devour. I have seen this happen. So I say abnormal fear because it's not just fear. You know, fear is normal. We all experience fear, and that is normal. That is our body's way of saying, this is dangerous, Taryn. Do not jump off of this cliff into the ocean. This is dangerous. You know, it's okay. Our body is meant to tell us when something shouldn't be happening. There's something wrong here. Be alert. Okay, this is a defense mechanism, and I'm grateful for it. But an abnormal amount of fear where it's debilitating. And for me, I know when something's abnormal, when I start to isolate. So no matter what is going on, if I find myself canceling, laying in my bed, hiding in my room, not wanting to go places, dreading hanging out with people, not looking at my phone, not texting, not reaching out, all of those things, I know I'm isolating. And the question that I want to ask you is, who have you been hanging out with? You are the average of the people you spend time with. So when my daughter comes home from a friend's house where she's been hanging around like little like snobby bratty girls, okay, she starts to act like a snobby bratty girl. And I'm like, see, this is what happens when you hang out with people like that. You become them. When my daughter is hanging out with our family or with people in our church, she acts the way that I know that she's supposed to act. And it's not just my daughter, it's myself. When I go hang out with my party friends, I start acting like my party friends. I start talking like them. I start gossiping like them. I start being critical like them. We do become who we're around. So I can tell by the way that I'm acting who I've been hanging out with. And it's not physical people I've been hanging out with, because usually I'm isolating and I've been hanging out by myself and I'm not just spending time with God. So there's a way that you can isolate yourself and spend time with God. And this is something that a lot of people need to be doing, where you need to withdraw away from all of your responsibilities and things and go meet Jesus. That's why Jesus left in the morning, left his home, left all his responsibility. Well, he didn't really have a home, but left his temporal home and would go away and would spend time with the Father, talking to him and seeking him, because he had so much on his plate and so much responsibility that he didn't have time to, he didn't really have time not to do this. So I'm not talking isolating in a good way where you're isolating yourself from the world and the culture and the people and you're spending time with God. I'm talking about you're isolating and you're not doing things of the Lord. You're binge watching you. You're watching evil shows. You're watching demonic possessed shows, scary movies, listening to rap music. Your mind is just racing in depression and anxiety, which is the next point. So you have abnormal fear, prolonged unexplained depression or anxiety. And I say unexplained because depression and anxiety don't always indicate that you're being spiritually oppressed. You can be depressed because you've just experienced a tragedy or a loss, or you could have a chemical imbalance in your brain or a hormonal imbalance. You can be experiencing anxiety because you have an abnormal amount of fear, or it's a trigger response from a past traumatic experience, or, you know, it doesn't always have to be that, but it's this prolonged, unexplained feeling of paralyzation. And this is what the devil wants. He wants to paralyze you when this depression sets in. And it makes it a greater paralyzer where you absolutely can't get out of bed. You absolutely can't answer the phone. You absolutely can't open your Bible because you are so depressed and so anxious. And I'm seeing this abnormal fear pop up in so many circles that I'm in and people I'm talking to. And the most reason why they're having this abnormal fear and why they're depressed and anxious for a prolonged, unexplained amount of time is because they've been isolating with the devil. They've been hanging out with the devil without them even knowing it. And they're becoming like him and they're having thoughts like him. And the other thing that we see a lot is the inability to rest and or also having nightmares. So Satan plays the long game. Okay. He's not just in it for like this quick, like, oh, I'll just grab him real quick. No, he's got nothing but time. So he is trying to play the long game because eventually that's going to wear you down, right? It's going to wear you down when you play that game. This can be an attempt to attack your dreams or cause greater fear and worry that prohibits rest, because without rest, we become extremely fatigued. And when we're tired, we're just so vulnerable. Like, think of boxers. I'm not a big boxing buff and I don't know a lot about it, but I have seen that strategy in the ring where they're just trying to tire out the other person and get them super fatigued. So in the last round, they can come in and knock them out. And this is what happens. We can't rest. Maybe you can't physically turn your brain off. You're struggling with insomnia. Your brain is just racing and racing and racing with anxious thoughts, with overthinking, overanalyzing. You're not trusting in God. You're also have the inability to rest maybe during the day where you're busying yourself. And no matter what you have on your schedule, how light it is, you're filling it with all kinds of stuff. And you're like a Martha. And you're like, I got to clean and I got to cook and I got to take care of all this stuff and I got to run these errands. And you feel like if you sit down and rest, you're lazy. And any minute in your day, especially if you're a mom, you're like, kids are napping. Okay, I got to clean. I got to do chores. No, kids are napping. How about you grab your Bible and you spend the next hour and a half while they take a nap, because the mess is just going to be there again tomorrow. But you can't afford to not do this. So the devil is getting in and he is causing followers to not be able to rest or giving you nightmares. Last night I had this nightmare and I vaguely remember it. All I remember is I woke up and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I just had a dream about a demon. And at the same time, I heard my daughter next to me make this choking noise. And a friend of ours' son passed away last week. Unexpectedly, he was 4 and he choked on something. And so choking has been on my radar and I have just been a freak throwing away anything that's small, not letting my kids eat by themselves. And I heard her making this choking noise and I shook her and I said, Sky, baby, wake up. And she woke up and she started crying and she said, Mom, I just had this horrible dream that there was this demon octopus that was wrapping his tentacles around my throat and he choked me and killed me. And then he threw me over the ocean into the mountains and she was bawling. And I'm like, what? Like, I just felt like I was woken up by this dream of a nightmare and this demon. And then I hear her choking and she's being in the same spot. I'm like, this right here, this is Satan trying to enter. He is not going to enter us. He is not going to take away our rest. I need to get tighter. What is it that is causing us to stumble? What is it that's giving the devil even one foothold in our door to think for one second that he has authority and can be here? So how can we stand up against it? I'm going to talk about that because I'm not just going to say, here you go, good luck, figure it out. We can stand against it. Remember that we're more than conquerors. In Romans 8:37, scripture says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And in 1 John 4:4, he says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. And remember how the story ends. So in Revelation 20:10, It says, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophets were. And there they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And in Matthew 25, 41, he says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you're cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There is already an eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons and all of the enemy's army. It's already prepared. They will be cast into there. So we have the authority. So remember that we are more than conquerors, who we are in Christ. And remember how the story ends. But the way to tangibly do this is to put on the full armor of God. That's why we have the full armor of God. Christianity isn't just a bunch of rules and religions to keep you from having fun. Christianity is a bunch of rules and promises and experiences in ways that we can stand up against the enemy and we can be protected. And in Ephesians 6:13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Because you are a child of God, because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, because you are the daughter of the Most High King, you have been given the armor of God. And in season 2 of this podcast, in episode 3, we just recorded it not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago, on the armor of God. It was in January 25th. And if you don't know the armor of God that is available to you, that he has given you, you have the king's armor, then you need to go and listen to that immediately, because you don't even have one more day that you can stand and fight the battle armorless. The armor is in your locker and you're just choosing to not put it on. So it's so important that you look at the armor of God, because you don't have to be under spiritual oppression. Your family doesn't have to be spiritually oppressed. You don't have to live in this feeling of, oh, I'm running from the devil and I'm hiding, and how am I ever going to get away from him? And it's exhausting and I'm just tired of fighting him, because I have been in seasons where I am tired. I am exhausted. I am sick of fighting the devil. I am sick of dealing with addiction for people that I love. I am sick of seeing people I love struggle with depression and anxiety and thoughts of suicide and generational sins and tragedy and curses and generational oppression. You are listening to this by no mistake today. You are someone who is strong enough. You are who your ancestors have been waiting for. Your mom and dad might have not been strong enough. Your grandma and grandpa might not have been strong enough. Your great grandpa and your great grandma might not have been strong enough to fight off the devil, but you are. You are strong enough because you have God, and all you need to do is be aware of it and believe it and know the authority you have. Cling to these scriptures, cling to his instructions, and ask him for help every single morning on your face, asking God, help me, lead me, expose darkness in my life. If you want to know where the darkness is entering your life, all you have to do is pray, Lord, help me to see where the darkness is coming from. Where am I leaving my life open for the devil to feel like he can freely walk into it and have power over me and my family? And this is a prayer. This is my magical parenting prayer that I say all the time, and it always works. Say, Lord, if there is anything unwholesome happening inside of my house or outside of my house involving the people in my house, expose it in the name of Jesus. Expose it. And I pray that, and you ask my boys, they're constantly being exposed. And they're like, how did you know? God told me. I know. Find them out, bust them, catch them. And I even say it with myself and my husband. That's why I say anyone in my house, if it's me, if it's my husband, whatever's happening, bring it to light. God is in the business of bringing evil to light, dark to light, turning the lights on. So you can ask him, turn the lights on in my life, turn the lights on in my home, and show me where I am leaving the door open, because I want to close the door and I want to walk with you as much as I can. So don't feel like this podcast episode is, oh, wow, this is tough. I want you to feel empowered. Like the enemy is beneath you. He is below you. He has no authority to even be behind you, walking behind you. He's beneath your feet. And if you are a believer, then that is 100% true. He cannot dwell within you. If you're not a believer, then you need to say the sinner's prayer. And it's not just the saying of what the prayer is. It's the feeling inside of your heart. You need to surrender and say, Lord, I'm not doing this alone anymore. I can't keep doing this by myself. I know that I'm not in control. I know that I am not strong enough to do this. I know that you're here for me, that you were sent to die for me and my sins. I know I'm forgiven. I know I can have a brand new life where you never look back at my past and you create a new person in me. You don't have to worry about the how. You just have to say it. You have to admit that you want help and that you want to be saved. And then God comes in and he saves you. And he will help you and seek a church that you can attend on Sundays so that you can get closer to believers, so that you can be influenced by believers and you can become more like God's community. So just know your authority. You are so strong. You are so powerful because of God. Don't ever let the devil trick you and make you think otherwise. Thank you for waking up with me today and setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I pray that God leads you and guides you to your promised land, and your fear and your worry and your doubt all wash away. If you are stuck in the valley and you are feeling hopeless and helpless, please download my 5 Steps to Hope Valley Guide that will tell you step by step by step how to get out of the valley and to stay out of the valley. You can find that on the link on my Instagram, as well as tons of other free tools, prayers, printouts for your identity, and to get my favorite list of books, devotions for adults and for kids. Also learn my favorite accountability software that I use for my kids, and check out my favorite must-watch sermons if you're in the valley. Thank you. God bless.